Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps the truth forever, who does not forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace, peace, mercy, and comfort be unto you from God the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 252, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 252, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. After the confession of faith, we will sing the fourth stanza of Psalter 252. The fourth stanza of 252, after we have confessed with heart and mind our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, as follows.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's open our Bible in the Old Testament, in the first book of Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we will read the verses 1 till 18. 1 till 18 from 1 Kings chapter 19. And God speaks from there to us as follows.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the centering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thine covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Until thus far.
Congregation, we would like to continue our Bible reading from about Elijah, and I would like to meditate upon the verses 1 till 3 from chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 till 3, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make to thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Till so far. As a theme under these words, I wrote the response to Carmel. The response to Carmel. And first we will see the response from Ahab when we read in verse, what we can find in verse 1. And then in secondly, the response from Jezebel, what we can find in verse 2. And thirdly, the response from Elijah, which we can find in verse 3. So the response to Carmel from Ahab, from Jezebel, and from Elijah. But first let us seek the Lord's face in prayer and call upon God's name. Heavenly God and Father, in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was dead but is alive, ascended into heaven, sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. O living Jesus, thou art in heaven and we on earth. And in this midweek service, we come together as a congregation to meditate about the scriptures, to listen what thou hast to say to us. We thank thee, Lord, that we are able to gather together in freedom also on this day of laboring. Lord, and then we pray for thy Holy Spirit in listening, in preaching. We are so dependent, Lord, on thy work. Oh, we easily can produce words. But, oh Lord, that thy word may go forth with power, not human power, but the power of thee, O Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus Christ. And therefore, O dear Lord Jesus, as thou hast sent out thy servants all around the world to preach the gospel, as means into thy hands to build thy kingdom of glory, O Lord, thou knowest how thy servants are weak and frail, yes, sinful, and who can stand before thee. O Lord, we can in ourselves. But therefore, O when we approach thee, and when we approach the throne of grace, we only can come hiding in the wounds of thee, O precious Savior. Thou hast conquered over sin. Thou hast conquered over Satan. Thou hast fulfilled the will of God, the law of God. Yes, thou hast bared the full wrath of God against the sin of thy church. It is finished, Lord. It's finished at Calvary. And grant us also this evening to understand it, the meaning of that, the necessity of that also in our own hearts and lives. We only can stand before thee in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which need to be our own righteousness, that given righteousness revealed in Scripture, revealed to the hearts of sinners. Oh Lord, when we are still living out of our own righteousness, out of our own works, grant us this evening to see who we are. The Scriptures are so clear, that we might bow down before thee, confessing who we are. Lord, and therefore we need thy Holy Spirit to convince about that. Otherwise, we will go on like Ahab and like Jezebel. But also, Lord, remember thy children. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts. Oh, those, Lord, who lost their own life, their own righteousness as a foundation for salvation. And by the power of thy Holy Spirit, thou hast given them an eye to look at a crucified Savior and found in him their own righteousness before God, forgiveness of sin, and everlasting salvation. But, O God, thou knowest how it is now in their hearts and lives. If that might still be a fresh way, a living reality, or maybe we are in darkness and dry in our hearts, without a joy, without the living presence of thee in our hearts and lives, O Lord. And it's always our own fault. It's only because of reasons in our lives, our unbelief, our pride, our self-righteousness. And we need to be discovered time and again. And we pray, Lord, when we will look also on Elijah this evening, O grant us, Lord, that we might get a view in our own hearts. Remember each and every one of us in this evening. O be with us in our personal circumstances, Lord. Help and strengthen when these circumstances are difficult. Remember widows and widowers. Remember those who are struggling with bodily health or mental health problems. Lord, help and strengthen each and every one of us, present in church or listening along at home. Lord, bless thy word. Bless our hearts, and that thy name might be glorified, O precious Savior, that we might experience that thou art in our midst, that thy name may be glorified and might be worshipped, Lord, in our hearts, but also in this service we pray. In the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 212. Psalter 212. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3 from the second tune. 212, the second tune, all stanzas. The response to Carmel. Congregation, the last time we dealt with this story, we have seen how Elijah, but also Ahab, left the Mount Carmel. Mighty things had happened. And after Elijah prayed, and he just saw a small little cloud, Ahab in his wagon, he drove back home to Jezreel. And so when we read in the next chapter, chapter 19, we read actually the response on that what had happened in chapter 18. And we will see not only tonight, but hopefully also in the future, there's a huge difference between chapter 18 and chapter 19. So let us first look to Ahab and his response on what had happened on the Mount Carmel. We read in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Who was Ahab? Children. He was the king. He was a Jew. He was circumcised. He was taught in the scriptures. He knew his Bible. Ahab, as a young man, he was looking for a wife. And he didn't care what God has spoken in scriptures about that. So he took Jezebel, a pagan girl, lady, as his wife. Ahab. And we know how he was reigning as a king over Israel, leading his people in sin. This man, and this man, he had been at Carmel. Let us just call back what he had seen and what he had heard when he was there, what had happened in his life. We have spoken about that. In the beginning of chapter 17, there is on a certain day, there is Elijah. And he stood before his throne and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And those words, they impressed Ahab. And we know how Ahab, after that it didn't rain anymore, he was looking for water for his animals, for his horses, but there seemed to be not water anymore, and so he was looking after Elijah everywhere. And on one day he found Elijah, and Elijah called him and ordered him to call all the people of Israel to come for a challenge at Mount Carmel. And he obeyed. He accepted the proposal. This man, this Ahab, he had seen what happened. Children, he had heard those priests of Baal praying and calling upon the name of Baal if Baal would answer with a fire. But he also saw Baal failed. He had seen how Elijah prepared the altar. He had seen and heard how Elijah called upon the name of God and how God answered. He had seen it. He had heard it. He had seen how in a split second fire came down from heaven. He had heard the confession of all the people around him. God, Yahweh, He is the God. Ahab. He listened to Elijah when Elijah said, go up the mountain, eat and drink. He did. While Elijah went on his knees praying for rain. And when Elijah saw the small little cloud like a hand of a man, and he ordered again Ahab to take his chariot and go back home, he obeyed. Congregation, when we call back all these events in the life of Ahab, when he was going home, when he felt the rain, when he saw Elijah running before his chariot, he had seen everything. And what was his response? You can find it in verse 1 of chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Congregation, two things are striking in this verse about what he is speaking to his wife. First of all, what he mentioned, and secondly, what he didn't say. Let's first see what he is mentioning, what he is actually saying, and then we will see what he didn't say. So what does he say to Jezebel? Oh, Jezebel, actually she was waiting at home. Probably she had heard about that challenge, what would happen. And of course in that time they didn't have social media, so she was actually waiting for what had happened with Baal and with the Baal priests. And Ahab told everything that Elijah had done. And then it is mentioned in particular and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Actually, that was the most important thing for Ahab to tell. To tell Jezebel, all your prophets, the prophets of your God, died. Killed by Elijah. Oh, congregation, this man who had seen the powerful works of God, this man who had seen the love of God, the grace of God, he didn't tell his wife about that. He didn't tell his wife, Jezebel, we are on the wrong way. Jezebel, Baal is not the God, but Yahweh, the Lord, is the God. is our God. He didn't even warn his wife for the power of God. Oh no! What he did? He did just that. Because he did just to stir up all the feelings of his wife. He was very aware how Jezebel was dedicated to the service of Baal. This is the only thing which is actually mentioned in this text. It was the most important thing he had spoken about. To create more division and evil. And we know the killing of these prophets, it actually didn't bother him. He had seen how it happened. He didn't call the army. Nothing. He had seen what happened and he let it happen. And now he goes to his wife. Of course, he need to please his wife. Ahab, a weak man. So that's what he mentioned. But this text also makes clear something what he didn't mention. So when we read carefully the text, it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." He didn't speak about what God has done. He just focused on that, what he had seen, what Elijah has done. This man, circumcised, a covenant child, raised under God's word. God doesn't have a place in his mind, in his thoughts. He would not even speak about that, what had happened. Oh, dude, those events, so powerful. He had never seen before, and I think also not afterwards. God doesn't have a single spot in his whole report. The Bible says, God is not in the mind of the wicked. And that's what we see here. God is not in the mind of the wicked. O congregation, this man was a man with a heart of stone, blind for the works of God, blind for what had happened, what actually had happened at Mount Carmel. But you would say, this man, was he blind? And then you see congregation. Yes, he was spiritually blind, an enemy. Although he had seen so much, He saw the power of the God of Israel. He saw the power of prayer of God's servant. He had seen the reality of the power of the prophecy of Elijah. And he doesn't speak about it. Congregation, this is Ahab. Ahab's response to what had happened on the Mount Carmel. Actually, you can say he has hardened his heart. And when you read it, congregation, then you think, how it can be, how it could be to have seen such powerful things and still remain the same, not see the mighty works of God. O congregation, let's have a look to our own hearts. Covenant people, baptized. Oh, how do we see in nature, in springtime, it's now, power of our Creator. We have seen, and maybe you have seen in God's providence, wonderful things, remarkable things. You have seen the power of God in it. You have heard the mighty works of God out of Scripture. We have spoken about them. Good Friday, Easter. And when you speak with your wife or with your husband, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? About the Lord and His wonderful works which He did in His beloved Son. Or just about people. Maybe about churches, about pastors, about God's people probably. But not about God. Arthur Pink, in his book about Elijah, he says, and I quoted, "If a white field or a Spurgeon be raised up to preach the word with exceptional power and blessing, this man is worshipped by the religious masses, and men talk of his abilities and his converts." Is that about you? Is that about me? This is Ahab's nature. That's Ahab's response on what had happened on Carmel. And the congregation, the hardening of our hearts, we think mostly about people out of the church. But to harden our heart is in particular a sin that happened in the church. Those who know about God, His Word, His Son, His deeds, His works, and as I have often mentioned, you will not leave this building in the same way as you entered it. You will not leave this building in the same way as you entered it. Or you will break down and you will come and as a broken sinner on God's feet. Are hardened your own hearts by your own thoughts in continuing your own life. That's what happened. That was Ahab's response. Let's now see his wife's response. Verse 2, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make to thy life as the life of one of them by to tomorrow about this time." Who was Jezebel? I mentioned already. She was a pagan woman. And she was raised in the service of Baal. Baal, the god of fertility. And she wasn't a weak person. Her husband was. Abe was weak on every aspect of his life. But his wife was a very strong and powerful lady. And she was a strong believer, although she believed not in the God of Israel, but she had a strong faith in the power of Baal. And congregation, this dedicated lady heard the report of her husband. And that specific detail that all the prophets of the Baal were killed just by one prophet of the God of Israel. Oh, this was such a shame. Her gods, her priests, her religion. It was actually her religion. And she had such a power over her husband. And so much influence by her husband on all the people of Israel that they start serving not the God of Israel anymore, but Baal. And now all her prophets, the whole religion seems to be gone. O congregation, here you see, in a point, a clash between the power of God and the power of evil and the power of Satan in the response of this woman. As she sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also." So she was calling upon and swearing unto her own gods, and she still believed in them. So she had a strong, strong faith in these idols. And so she sent a messenger to Elijah. Tomorrow, in 24 hours, you will be like the prophet you've killed. Congregation, and so it happens so often between the powers of God, between the Holy Spirit, when he met sinner. And he met all the powers of hell, all the powers of evil. And that's what we see in Jezebel. And then you see then murder and all these things, no problem at all anymore. And although the prophets were killed, and yes, Ahab had spoken all things what had happened. So I'm sure he had spoken about that the Baal priest had called upon the name of Baal but weren't able to get an answer. But she goes on by sending a messenger. The congregation, I think this lady was a smart lady. I was wondering why she sent a messenger to tell Elijah that he would be killed in 24 hours. Actually, you will say, I don't like to kill you. If she really would kill this man, she had killed him right away. But she gives him 24 hours. And I think, congregation, that she had another purpose. She was aware, if I kill this man of God, all the people of Israel have seen what had happened at Carmel. And they all have called, "The Lord is the God." She would have all the people against her. But when she started to make this servant of God being afraid, maybe he would leave the country. And she would still come back with her power to restart the religion of Baal in Israel. O congregation, this is Jezebel. We have seen Ahab, a child of the covenant. This is Jezebel. This is a picture of the Gentiles, a pagan lady. They are going on in their blindness and in their sinfulness. And but I was preparing this. I was thinking, what I have to say to the congregation about this? What's the message actually? But congregation, this is the message. This is mankind fallen in paradise. It's about me. It's about you. That reality. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen the darkness of your heart? Have you ever seen your heart is filled with serving idols, self-created gods? We have spoken about it. What are idols? Idols is those who I'm trusting. And how many people, church-going people, unregenerated people, have an image of God, and they are thinking that they are serving God, and they are praying, and sometimes praying for many years, and still thinking, and when you will ask them, what's your religion? They will say, I'm a Christian. I'm praying. But may I ask you, to whom you are praying? To whom you are praying? Are you probably praying to a self-created God, a self-created image of God, which is not a true God? Congregation, by nature, that's what we do. Oh, please, when you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, trust me. Trust the word of God that you are serving an idol, a self-created God, a self-created image of God, but not the God of the Scriptures. Although you think it. Because by nature, we have completely wrong thoughts about God and His righteousness. Or quite often we think, oh yes, God is righteous, but He is also merciful. And then we skip that part of God's righteousness, and we focus on God's mercy and God's grace. That's an idol. That's not the God of the Bible. Yes, God is merciful. God is love. But at the same time, He is complete righteous, and He cannot accept one single sin in your life, and He will not accept. You can pray as much as you want. You can cry as much as you want. You can do as much as you want. But God cannot accept, and He shall, and He will never accept that sin. And how many people can live and still think they are praying to God? Oh, my dear congregation, do you see? Have you ever discovered the pagan worship in your own heart? To be ashamed, to say, oh God, I'm always thinking I'm willing to get saved. Therefore, I'm praying. And I think I'm willing. I'm ready, Lord. And now I'm waiting on Thee.
But now I see the reality. It is me who is not willing. I have completely a wrong image of thee, O God. I am serving an idol in my own heart, in my own thought, created in my thoughts.
That's what Jezebel did. And you see, congregation, that's always against the God of Israel, the true God of the Scriptures. And this is the thing, congregation, when the Holy Spirit comes in a sinner's life and he discovers that reality, he shows you that God is a righteous God and he will never and he can't accept sin. And he shows you the reality of being a sinner. Then you are asking God, but how I can ever get to know thee? You know what I'm talking about? How I can get peace, God, with thee? And the more I see my unbelief as sin and my self-righteousness as sin, And my heart is filled with it, and my life is filled with it. How I can ever get rid of it? Do you know that battle? That's the way. How God will, the Bible says that a sinner will die. And that means that I die on all my self-created images of God in Scripture. And that I die on all my thoughts of salvation. That I learn to cry, Lord, I don't know. I'm lost. How I can ever get saved, O God? I believe thou art ready, thou art willing, thou art, but I am dead, Lord, in sins and trespasses. I made that choice in paradise against thee. I am fallen in sin. I have a heart of stone. My state of death is not just a theological issue. It's a reality. Have you ever discovered that in your life? Being dead because of sins and trespasses. And how you can get rid of that heart of stone. You can't help yourself. No. That's what God is. To show me the pagan in my own heart. Why? That idol might die. And to reveal the true God in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That's the true biblical God. God in Christ Jesus, who is merciful in Christ Jesus, who is gracious because of the finished work of Christ. Jezebel. But let's now see the response of Elijah. Elijah was such a man. A man who has found his righteousness outside himself in God and in the promised Messiah. A man filled with the Holy Spirit. Elijah. Oh, what did he experience in his life? Oh, congregation, that is wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. To be a servant of God, isn't it? May I ask you, if you might be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, by free grace, that's a blessed life, isn't it? That's a wonderful life. Oh, that's a life filled with experiences, oh, for sure. Let us just look in the life of Elijah. What did he experience? Now, first of all, we know that he started to pray when he saw all the sins of his people and he saw the whole religion of Baal. He started praying for his own. We have spoken about that. And God had answered that prayer and has called him to go to Ahab and to tell him,
like I mentioned from chapter 17, verse 1, that as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word that he did. Children, do you remember that? How Elijah went to the palace between all the guards and so on, and he went right away to the throne of the king, and he had just a very short message. What a powerful man. Oh, what a faithful man. Without doubt.
And then he left, and God sent him to the brook Cherith, and there he had seen God's wonderful providence in giving him food and water. And even when the brook dried up, he saw that his word was fulfilled. No rain. God showed his servant the fulfillment of his preaching. Oh, what a blessing. What an encouraging also for Elijah.
And then God took him to that widow of Zarephath. We have spoken about that. How the Lord provided also food every day again, again and again. There was that food. And we know the story when the son of that lady died, how God answered the prayer of Elijah. Wonderful, mightyful. And the son of that lady, that woman, she became alive. It all happened in the time of Elijah. And then God called him again to meet Ahab. And before he met Ahab, we know he met that other man, that brave and God-fearing Obadiah. Oh, what an encouraging it has been for Elijah, a man, a God-fearing young man who was feeding 100 prophets. Oh, what an encouraging experience in the life of a servant of God. And then he met Ahab, and then he called him to call all the people on Carmel, and he has done. And he saw all the people over there. Oh, can you imagine what was gone through his heart? Oh, congregation, that he felt to be the servant of God in that very important moment when he came up with his proposal, and when he saw the reality that the priests of Baal were unable to get an answer, and when he had to prepare the whole altar, and it seems to be impossible with all the water, and then he called upon the name of God, and God had answered right away with a fire. Oh, what a mighty thing in the life of God's servant, isn't it? And then he went on his knees with his servant, and he called seven times, and he cried out for God for rain, and God answered his prayer. And then he was able to run in front of Ahab's horses to Jezreel. Oh, the servant of God, Elijah, what he saw, the power of God, what he had experienced, the presence of God, what he had seen, the love of God for his people. A man who wasn't afraid for 400 Baal priests when he killed them. And then that messenger, it's just singular, a messenger, one person came and told him a message from a lady, the queen. Tomorrow, in between 24 hours, you will be dead. what would we expect, children? What would we expect from Elijah? What would you do? We would expect that he would go on his knees and say, Lord, Lord, I'm in danger. But Lord, thou hast saved my life so often. Thou hast given me the strength and the power, Lord, to be thy servant. Lord, I will stay. I will stand in thy power. But is that what he does?
No. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. That's in the text. He went for his life. He didn't care about the sake of God. No, now he went for his life. That was the problem. That was the need. Oh, congregation, this man, with all his experiences, with all what he had experienced, who was not afraid to go alone in the midst of all the enemies to the king, who was totally not afraid when he was on the Mount Carmel, and now he fears and he flees. O congregation, he has only one care, that was his life. His life. Why? Why it was so different now as it has been earlier? Why that fear? O congregation, I think, and I will come back on that the next time, the Lord willing, I mentioned already there is such a difference between chapter 18 and 19. In chapter 18, we see such a powerful Elijah. Chapter 19, such a weak man. Why? I think, congregation, the answer you can find in James. In chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. This Elijah was just a man. Oh, we can think, such a powerful man, such a preacher, such a prophet of God. And maybe he thought it also by himself. When it is true, what James says in 5:17, he was subject to like passions as we are. May I ask you, do you know that passions in your life? Do you know these moments in your life that you were on the heights of faith, oh, to overcome sin, it seems, in your own power? It was so easy. Oh, when faith was there, nothing seems to be in the way. Maybe it was on the Sunday, on the Lord's Day, when there was the table of the Lord, and when God was so nigh and dear to your soul, and such a power in your heart and in your soul, and such a longing for holiness and to live for Christ, you know. Such a blessing. And maybe it was at the same day. At the same day that you fell in a sin. How is this possible? Oh, congregation, this is in the life of God's people quite often there. That death is so close to that heights in the life of Christians. Why? Is it? You are not aware
not aware of the dangers. Careless or less vigilant, let me say that word. And how often it happened in the life of a Christian that you start to rely and to live out of those wonderful experiences and lose your awareness of the power of sin. But it still remains. It's there. In the life of Elijah, a man of power, and here he was completely discouraged. Completely powerless, and he flew away. Congregation, why he was weak? I think there was also a connection between what had happened. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. This man was exhausted. Exhausted bodily and mentally. He had run before the chariot of Ahab, and yes, of course, it was a God-given power. And he had preached, and he had experienced that powerful work of the Holy Spirit and God on the mount. But congregation, that exhausted quite often a Christian also. It's quite often also in the life of a pastor. Oh, you can have had such a blessed sermon and services on the Lord's Day. And on the Monday, completely done, completely tired, done, exhausted. This is, I believe, also happened, and part of the problem in the life of Elijah. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Congregation, this is also in the Bible. Our Bible is so honest. No, here we see a servant of God as a weak man, as a weak person. Why? Why? We can't put our trust in man, in ourselves, in what we have experienced in the past. No. We only can rely on God. And so when you read these verses, those first three verses, we found Ahab's response. It's a discouraging response, isn't it? We found Jezebel's response. It's a discouraging response. But we also saw Elijah's response. God's people. Not a success story. No. A fleeing man. Afraid for a single woman. And not on his knees, not praying. Just listening to his own carnal flesh. And what? What now? I was wondering, what is the message of this? What's the gospel in it? Now, congregation, I have already made an application. Ahab, that's the church of today. That's about you and about me, the church, who is
Yes, it's baptized, it's the covenant church. But what's the church? When you look to the church, how you can easily become discouraged. It's broken, it's filled with pride, it's filled with worldliness, it's you can continue. What's the church? And how easily we can get discouraged from the church. Youth, and our youth often sees very clear the mistakes and the sins and the weaknesses. Do you see? They are also already revealed here, also in this story. Abe was a covenant man. We can trust, put our trust in the church. Congregation, we see the Gentiles in Jezebel, and when you look around in our country, when you look around in Western Europe, when you look around in this world, it is filled with evil. I don't know how you experience that. When you follow what's going on in the world, then so often I think, who is speaking the truth? When you're listening to one, it seems to be the truth, and 10 minutes later you discover he is also lying. Who you can trust? Who you can trust in politics? Who you can trust in businesses? Oh, sometimes when you look around and you think, it seems that the lie is reigning in this world. It seems quite often that Satan reigns this world. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you have that experience sometimes that you think, oh Lord, this world is such a bad place to live on? How my children have to live on this world filled with lies and sin and evil. That's what we see in Jezebel. And then Elijah, that's God's people, that's God's church. The living church. And what about them? Oh, when we look to Christians, in particular in the West, where are those prayerful men? Where are those prophets of the Word of God? Oh, and I have to look to myself. And then you will ask, but is this the message which we have to take home? Yes. Why? Congregation, it makes clear we need another one to trust on. We need one who is righteous. We need one who is true. We need one you can trust. We need one who is holy. We need one who can save me from all that evil. Because have you discovered that reality of Ahab and Jezebel in your own heart? Have you seen the weakness of Elijah in your own soul? Oh, maybe here is a Christian who has to confess and say, Lord, Lord, who am I? So prayerless, so with so little faith, with so little power, Lord, and sin seems to be so powerful in my life. And although I cannot ignore and I cannot neglect the truth that I love my Savior, but at the same time, Lord, I discovered the reality being a sinner. Listen. The story of the Mount Carmel. It's actually a picture of another mount. Oh, on Mount Carmel, God conquered over Baal. But there was another mount, Golgotha, where Christ conquered over sin and over evil. Oh, my dear congregation, there is only one place to go tonight, and that's to Calvary.
There God has given his only begotten Son. And there he is. I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the way. Oh, congregation. And that's the only hope of a Christian, isn't it? When you discover the lie outside yourself, when you discover the lie inside yourself, when you look to your children where to go, only one way, that blessed living Jesus. Oh, congregation, that blessed living Jesus. He is alive. That's my only comfort. He is the truth, and he has conquered over sin. Yes. And when you see the reality of Jezebel in your heart, you see the reality of Ahab in your soul, you see the reality of Elijah and the sin of in your heart, where to go? To the blood of Christ. To the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, mighty people, the power of the blood of the Lamb is here. And that's what we need today. That's what we need in our personal lives. That's what we need in the church. That's what God's people need. The power of the blood of Christ, time and again, every day. And it is here. It's there. Because we have had Good Friday. It is finished. We have had Easter. But God the Father has spoken to his Son. It is finished, my Son. Jesus has send it into heaven at the right hand of the Father. Almighty. You can be such a big sinner, so hard, so cold, so unbroken, such a sinner like Jezebel. But Jesus Christ came for those people. Really, not for good people, but for lost sinners. He has given his life. Oh, don't think it's not possible for me. Oh, when you want to be and when you cannot be and more than such a sinner like Jezebel, you can kneel down beside her. You can say, oh, I'm like Ahab. Come, here is the Savior. Here is the blood of Christ. And he has conquered over sin. He has conquered over evil. He has conquered over Satan. Here is the blood revealed in Scripture. In the promises of God's word for sinners who have nothing to offer to him. That's a message. I couldn't go further in my preparation till verse 3. I thought that's what God will show us tonight. There is only one name given under heaven by which you can be saved. You can't trust your own thoughts. You can't trust your own hearts. You can't even trust your own experiences. But you can only trust that one given name by the Father, his only begotten Son. And he promised, come unto me, everyone that thirsteth. Come unto me. Oh, my dear congregation, here is Christ tonight in the Scriptures. Here he is tonight, and he comes, and he looks to you as a crucified Savior, and he says, come, come, be reconciled. You have not to do it by yourself. I did it. I went to Calvary. Come, come. And to me, surrender your sinful, your lustful, your ungodly, your death heart unto me. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way to God. That's the message. That's the message. And all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved once and forever, forever, forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, precious Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Thou art alive, and the power of thy blood, O living Jesus. That's what we need every day again, to be washed, to find peace with thee. O Lord, to find righteousness. There is not in us, but it is only in thee. And thou hast offered it freely in the promises of Scripture. For ungodly people, by free grace, O Lord, who art thou? Who art thou in thy mercy, in thy grace? O there only in the cross of Jesus, there the righteousness of God will kiss thy mercy and will kiss thy grace. O Lord, bless thy word. Bless the message. Be with us when we go home. When we go on the roads, give us traveling mercies. Forgive all our shortcomings in speaking and listening, in our sin. And hear our prayer. Only for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, in closing, we will sing Psalter 3. That's about that name, that one name given, that King, the kingship of Jesus Christ. We will sing Psalter 3, the stanzas 3 and 4.
Ye people, go in peace. Lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.